This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. Before we start talking football, let me show some love to Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. They're dedicated to your recovery. They have 16 Central Florida pain clinics and physical therapy locations. They're devoted to helping you to your path to pain recovery. When you're going through a tough time of car accidents and stressful times physically, you got to go with the people who know what they're doing, and that's Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. 1-800-618-STRESS. Now, at the beginning of the week, and we're going to talk a lot of football. We got to talk about some things around football as well. The whole week started off with the rumors of LeSean McCoy and the domestic abuse and the violence. It also hit really close to home here, and we talked about it a little bit with the name Robert Marv that came up, a guy who I've known for a while. I don't know all the particulars. I just know what I read. I'm hoping that the allegations aren't true, but if they are, well, then you got to pay the piper. That's it. I've known Robert Marv for a while. I've played with his father. And I guess when it came out on social media, people started piling on and coming up with some different stories. So let's hope that's not the case. He used to quarterback Plant High School. I see him here and there and everywhere as a personal trainer. Let's hope that's not the case. The whole thing with LeSean McCoy, we heard all particulars about that one. And when you see a picture right away, everybody, you know, they react drastically. And if he put his hands on that young lady, then he needs to be suspended and maybe never play again. But we always jump to conclusions when you hear a couple days later that she was squatting in his house and she wouldn't get out of his house. And he's had situations with her. It's hard to jump to a conclusion because there are situations where the woman acts a fool. I'm not saying this is one of them, but it's true. I've seen a video of a woman jumping out of a car and blaming a guy for pushing her out. And I'm not saying it happens often, but if it happens 1 out of 10 times and there's one guy out of 10 that's getting screwed and their life is done forever from somebody like McCoy, who is a borderline Hall of Fame player. If you go out like that, I mean, that's it. You're never going to be recognized again. And you don't want somebody to play for your whole career and have a Hall of Fame career and get wrongly accused of something, and that what keeps you out of the hall. I mean, that'd be a disgusting way to do that, that's for sure. Speaking of which, we talked about Terrell Owens not speaking at the Hall of Fame ceremony because he believed he was snubbed. First of all, he's acting like he's more important than everybody else. There's a process of being chosen to anything. You know, it's if you get snubbed for the NBA All-Star game or the Major League Baseball All-Star game, then you got snubbed. That's it. There's a process. You didn't pass. That's it. You didn't get you didn't get elected right away. You weren't on first ballot. Boo frickity who. You're in the frickin' Hall of Fame. You're one of, what, 1% of 1% of 1%? And you're going to be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame with all the best players of all time and say that you're not going to speak at the ceremonies? Nobody gives a shit about you. And the Hall of Fame is not even going to recognize T.O. at the ceremonies. Does he think he's doing something that's good for anybody? I mean, definitely not good for him. All the money that you could have made later on with the Hall of Fame and getting gathered up with all these dudes in yellow jackets and making money just to sign your name, they're not going to do that with you. They have no love for you. So, I mean, T.O., that's some bonehead stuff, that's for sure. Now, speaking of some bonehead stuff, Jameis Winston has to understand that everything he does is under a microscope. That's for sure. He knows that by now. This one to me was, this story changed so damn fast. You must have heard about that Jameis was working out with his personal trainer, and he Instagrammed it out or did it on some social media. And Jameis's trainer's shirt said, "Jameis against the world." So people looked at that and they ran with it. And Jameis Winston may as well have been kicking babies and puppies because his trainer had a shirt that said, "Jameis against the world." How dare he, with this Me Too stuff, how dare his trainer would wear that, something like that? And Greg Almond from Tampa Bay Times came out and would just basically crucified Jameis for being insensitive for his trainer to be wearing this shirt in this day and age, okay? Now, it's freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of everything. Now, since then, it's been removed. Why? Because they were just wrong. Greg Almond, who jumped to conclusions and obviously had to write something to piss some people off with the Tampa Bay Times, wrote, crucified Jameis for his, you know, trainer having this shirt. And then we find out that it's an NFL sanctioned thing. If you go to NFL.com or NFL shop, there's Patriots against the world, Buccaneers against the world, Jameis against the world, J.J. Watt against the world, Tom Brady against the world. It's an NFL-wide thing. So Jameis had to sit there and get crucified by some cat that's trying to sell papers, newspapers, which I haven't even touched a newspaper in 5 years. I don't know how it still exists, to be honest with you. But Greg Almond came out and said, Jameis's PR people should know better than that. Now, do you think that Jameis's PR people are following him in the gym and noting every tweet or social media post he ever does? Come on. Your PR people, you know, he's not, you know, he's a football player. He doesn't even need a PR person, really. His PR people are the Buccaneers. They can't keep an eye on him. They can't babysit him. And first of all, he didn't do anything wrong. Nothing at all. And to me, and for Greg Almond and all those people out there that want to jump on and just an athlete in general when they do every little hiccup, okay, say to yourself, who got hurt? And that's my question I always ask. Okay, for Jameis Winston in a situation where he's in an Uber car and he grabs on some girl's vagina, who got hurt? The woman got hurt. She was probably petrified and, you know, she got violated. She got hurt. That's a problem. With the Robert Morris situation or LeSean McCoy, somebody got hurt. We have to get to the bottom of this. Who would get hurt by Jameis's trainer having a shirt says Jameis against the world? Who would be hurt? Like, who would even be offended? I don't get it. And I've said this many times before. Athletes get treated a lot different than everybody else out there. Everybody wants to crucify an athlete for not doing an interview. After a game, after a hard-fought game and you lost, sometimes an athlete doesn't feel like talking about it. Boy, if an athlete doesn't make an interview, if he doesn't have to do an interview, he gets killed by the media. How dare he, blah, blah. I watched our beloved president the other day at a press conference, and somebody puts his hand up. He looks at me and goes, you can't answer a question. You're from CNN. You're fake news. I'm not answering your question. What would happen if an athlete did that? Dead, okay? And, you know, that's happening right in front of us. So people get treated differently, that's for sure. But this is going to be a long season for Jameis, man. If Jameis misspells a word on social media, they're going to jump on him. It's just that time right now for Jameis. And it's not a good equation for success when everybody's watching, you know, every step you take, and you know every time you make a mistake, it's going to be multiplied 10 times. It's a bad equation. I'm hoping for the best for Jameis, but I personally I'm not sure at the end of the season we don't hit the reset button again, because if this is the crucial season for everybody in this organization, it's not a good way to start it by not having your starting quarterback and your press jumping on your quarterback, and all of it's bad. It really is. Now, for those of you that ever have a question for me regarding football, you can email me at ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Brad P., who is a very consistent emailer, I appreciate you. He wanted me to talk a little bit about the Bucs training facilities when I was there. He said, I heard they were quite basic. Well, if you mean by quite basic, I would bet what we trained with at One Buck Place, which would be now International Plaza, what we trained with would be probably 1/10 of what the Bucks have now, maybe something like that, equipment wise. And we made up for it because it was all rusty. We actually would lift weights outside at times in Florida, which is once again not optimal. There was some stuff that was in a trailer. When I first got to One Buck Place, You know, I was in a Big Ten school, Indiana. I've been to Nebraska, and I've been to all the different schools and saw their weight room. When I first got to One Bug Place in 1990, I would say their weight room was probably, if I had to guess, no more than 1,000 square feet. It's, that is nothing at all, okay? You go to Nebraska, and those things are 10,000, 20,000 square feet. They're all over the place. So what they have now, when I walk into One Bug Place now, that has nothing to do with what we grew up with. Like, we grew up with two metal tubs that you can soak in, you know, and you know, when I go to San Francisco or New York and all these places, they have like these in-ground hot tubs and people are in pools and Olympic side pools. You know, it doesn't help you win on the football field, but it sure does help you recruit. Because when I walked in some different complex, I walk in, I was like, dude, this is the way it's supposed to be. And just like, you know, you leave your raggedy house and you go in somebody's mansion, it was something like that. So the Bucks are in good hands now, but way back when, like the Bucks, it doesn't get much better than One Bug Place now. It doesn't get much better. It doesn't mean it's the best, but anybody has something better, it's not going to be that much better. And then they have the indoor facility as well, which pretty much keeps them up with the Joneses. The other question he has, being from Canada, do you watch CFL in the summer? I mean, I don't go out of my way to watch CFL football. If it's on and I'm flipping channels, I'll watch it a little bit. You know, I enjoy the product. It's just I don't know anybody there. There was a time where I would watch a little bit more. I was actually the second pick in the draft in 1989 from the BC Lions. And they have not called me since. So if I ever have money, want to make a comeback in the CFL, I'll be a BC Lion. I had another email here from Brian Ocampo. What do you think about the Bucks having rookie Alex Kappa playing guard? Do you know many guards who are 6'5"? 6'5" is tallish for a guard, that's for sure. There's been a lot of guards that have been 6'5" and even 6'6" when I played way back when. It's a little bit tall, but it's a lot easier for a tackle, which Alex Kappa was in college, to move down to a guard position. It's almost impossible for a guard to move to tackle or to center. I wouldn't worry about the 6'5". More so than I would worry about him being a rookie. You know, I started 16 games my rookie year. It all worked out, but that's not good football. That's not good football. And we were, my rookie year, we were 5-11, and there wasn't a whole lot of greatness around, so I didn't stick out. But if you're a team that's expected to make the playoffs and do some good things, and you have a quarterback that's worth a lot of money, sometimes that rookie guard is not the good thing. Benenok, who played tackle last year, I think is going to be fighting it out with them. But hopefully they get that thing together here real quick, because offensive and defensive lines, to me, are going to be the key to this team, and they always are. Now, this year, I'm going to talk a little bit more in the trenches about fantasy football. I was against fantasy football for so long. Not so much against it as more so I don't really give a crap about your team. I don't want to hear you talk about your team. I don't care. But the actual fantasy football itself, I actually got into it a little bit more last year. I was in a couple leagues, actually enjoyed it for the first time. So definitely going to talk a little bit of fantasy football this year going forward. If you're a Buccaneer fan, you know, Buccaneer fans, when they draft their fantasy team, a lot of times people put a lot of Bucks on the team. You know, the Bucks are not, I think out of all the teams, the Bucks may have more question marks fantasy-wise than anybody else. If you really think about Jameis Winston, who has pretty good fantasy numbers, but if you miss the first 3 weeks of the season, now all of a sudden Jameis is not going to be a top pick. He's going to fall a little bit. So there's a question mark. Mike Evans, 2 years ago, 96 catches, 12 touchdowns. That's top 2, 3, 4 wide receivers in the league. Last year, 71 catches, 5 touchdowns. He's not upper echelon. There was people that drafted Mike Evans real high last year that were definitely disappointed. That's for sure. DeSean Jackson, last year, 50 catches, 3 touchdowns. I guarantee there's some people that picked him really high last year that lost in their league. That's for sure. His long all year was 41 yards. For a guy with that kind of speed, I mean, he's one of the faster kids in the league. There's no reason why you shouldn't have one play over 41 yards in a whole season. And when you look at DeSean Jackson's career, maybe we shouldn't be all that surprised because his last big year was 2013 in Philadelphia. And maybe 50-3 is what he is. And we're going to find out this year. The only thing that, you know, makes me feel good about watching DeSean Jackson last year is he's not losing his speed. He still has a whole lot of speed. It's just him and Jameis, they couldn't link up for some reason. And hopefully they took care of that in the offseason. Now, as far as tight end goes, we have two great tight ends. We might have one of the better tight end duos in the NFL with O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. But when you have a two-headed monster like that, it's not something that's very appealing for, you know, for fantasy football. It's good for the Bucs. You know, they might come out and two tight end a whole lot, and you got two great targets. But for fantasy football, that means that there's not enough balls for both of them. So at times, one of them's going to be on the bench. So it's one of those things where you don't know if you're going to pick your tight end high if they're a Buccaneer. Now, Ronald Jones, the rookie out of USC, everybody has high hopes. Rookies scare me. He's going to be sharing touches with Jacquizz Rodgers and also Charles Sims. So, once again, none of these guys are going to be very high picks for fantasy because, I mean, we've never been that team to put up those big numbers other than the quarterback. Jameis has actually been putting up some pretty big numbers fantasy-wise. And the unfortunate part is you're able to put up, you know, big numbers fantasy and lose. You know, you threw a lot of touchdowns, but in losing games, you know, you can be 36 for 50 with 400 yards passing and three touchdowns and two interceptions. That's wonderful fantasy wise, but it's not great for a football team. First of all, you don't want your quarterback throwing the ball that many times. And a lot of the yards are racked up at times where you're losing the game or you're trying to come from behind. So fantasy sometimes loses and kind of messes up the perception of how a person plays or not. Some people think, oh, he had this many fantasy points, he played well. Yeah, it doesn't quite work that way. Adam Humphries, good, you know, dropped a few passes last year that he didn't the year before, but 61 catches, a pretty good year. One touchdown needs to be approved on, but 61 catches last year, you can't ask for too much more from Humphries. But Chris Godwin, which I guess is kind of like the wild card guy, he started to pick it up a little bit towards the end of last year, but ended up with 34 catches with only one touchdown. But he would be a person going forward that I might want to pick maybe even before Humphries, because the kid Godwin, a lot of people think he can play, and he showed signs at the end of last year that he definitely can get on the field and do some things. But as a whole, the Buccaneers are not a real appealing fantasy football team. They're really not. If you look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers that have Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell, I mean, those are legitimate names. Or like Aaron Rodgers, you can't go wrong with. Brady, you know, Jameis has question marks. And really, the question marks is going to be, you know, are you going to come back? Are you going to shine? Are you going to be able to deal with all this pressure? And is it going to be worth it for me to pick you high as a quarterback when we miss the first 3 weeks of the season? You know, fantasy's usually over with 4 weeks left, something like that, or 3 weeks left, and doesn't give you a whole lot of Jameis. So you definitely have to make some decisions, that's for sure. So if anybody, once again, wants to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I have a couple other podcasts. I have a cannabis podcast now, which we do on Wednesdays, and Flavoring Year, we've been doing it for a while. We do that on Fridays. So if you enjoy this one, please do me a favor and tune into the other ones. They're all very entertaining, I believe, and we like to have fun with those as well. Well, I appreciate you guys wanting to hear football in the offseason. Football is right around the corner. I guess right about a month from now, a little more than that, we're going to be, you know, ready for football season. And these guys are going to start reporting here in another couple weeks. So there'll be a lot more to talk about. We're going to contact with the Buccaneers and see if we can maybe do a couple of In the Trenches shows from One Buck Place. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But we'll definitely keep you posted for all the things going on, Buccaneer-wise and NFL-wise. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been In the Trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Crush Performance Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
We talk with Brandon Aiken, the Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Medicine at the University of South Carolina.
Basically, you know, it kind of started out as, I love my job, and my job is to return athletes as quickly and safely as possible. You know, and in that time, you get to have some good relationships with athletes and things like that. But it became somewhat of an issue from time to time where it was kind of a running joke. You know, like, oh, I broke my leg, just put some ice on it. You know, that was always the answer, just put ice on it. And then one day I decided, you know what, we're just going to stop. You know, and it actually, you mentioned Gary, I saw a video with he and Kelly talking about that issue, and it just clicked. It's like, you know, it was one of those moments where it was kind of an aha thing, and it really kind of gave me the courage hearing them talk and having somebody out there that kind of felt the same way I did. I was honestly afraid to make that move and you know, go over that mountain because I didn't know it was going to happen. I was, like I said, always brought up icing everything and that kind of thing. But at the same time, I was kind of fairly certain about, my background as far as physiology and those kind of things that, you know, yeah, we're probably on the right track. It makes sense.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crichel, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.